Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
We had a great night on Friday night. We had an opportunity to celebrate and honour volunteers in the life of our church. Some people couldn't make it, unfortunately, but for those that were there, we had a great night. It was a lot of fun, and I just really wanted to take time out to stop and just acknowledge and honour and pay tribute to all of our volunteers in the life of our church. So that was a lot of fun. I had a conversation with somebody recently. They wanted to catch up, and they sat me down. They said, "Phil, how do I know I'm growing in this Christian walk? How do I tell if I'm actually on the right path, on the right track, if I'm actually growing?" And I thought that was just actually a great question. I thought to myself initially, the fact that the question was asked was a great indicator that somebody is desiring to grow and learn in the first place. And then I think, you know, scripturally, the Bible says, you know, we're not called to judge each other, but by our fruits we will be known. And think about the fruits that our lives are producing this time this year as compared to this time last year or 2 or 5 years ago or whatever it may be. You know, can you think about any shift, transition, change that's happened in your life that would indicate that there's been some kind of growth in your life? And I think as a pastor, as your pastor, it is of great, it's a responsibility I don't take lightly in terms of your spiritual growth and development, that you, I, us together as a community are not stuck or stagnant, because we all know what stagnant water's like. And if it's sitting there for long enough, it gets pungent and it stinks and it's off-putting and it's of no purpose really, and it's certainly no good for drinking or anything like that. And that's the last thing we ever want to be as people or as a church. Is that right?
Yeah.
So we're not here today just to tick off a religious duty. We're not here because we, as I've spoken about in the past, we are in a relationship of convenience with Jesus Christ. By that I mean that, like, hey, when it suits and when it fits, or when I need Jesus in my life, that's when I'm going to kind of like be desperate, and that's when I'm going to be kind of like right into the God thing. But if things are going okay, then, you know, the God stuff can just become a second, third, fourth, fifth, 10th priority in my world. You know, that's not the kind of people that I believe God has called us to be. And so as I was thinking about this, my question, or the title of this message, is simply, where are you at? Where are you at? Now, sometimes we do a mid-year health check. We look at, like, you know, sort of middle of the year, how we're progressing and tracking with our church goals and you know, our strategic focus for the year. And we generally look at three things. Now, I don't want to talk about that today, because I want to talk about you. I want to talk about you, because you are the greatest reflection of who Compass Church is. You're it. When people ask you, like, you know, what'd you do on the weekend? And you just go, oh, yeah, you know, sat down, had a great barbecue, had dinner with friends, went to church on Sunday, and then, like, you know, Sunday night, no, a bit of a sneeze cough church word in there somewhere. No, like, it's like, you know, that we're one of those people who go, hey, went to church on Sunday, and like, it was actually great, believe it or not. You know, that freaks people out. And in terms of speaking with Ginger, particularly, who her world is marketing and all things marketing, she's very, very good at it. You know, we're talking about, it's just one of the greatest challenges we have is the preconceived idea about what church is like. And we're not just talking about the church service, which we, you know, we try to do the best we can with what we've got. And, you know, we do announcements and we do things like that the best we can with what we've got. And Nat does a great job. Oh, she's not here. What a pity. Wow. But seriously, isn't that one of the great things about our church, is that, you know what, we're just us. This is who we are. We're not going to pretend to be anything different. And, you know, we're into doing the best we can, but we're not into slick, polished kind of sort of, you know, we're just into just being real. But in terms of us as a church, like, you know, you're our growth strategy. You're it. How's Compass Church going to continue or hopefully increase in its influence in our community and society is through you. So my question is, where are you at? Where are you at? So let's turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. I love what Helen Keller wrote. She wrote many great quotes, one of which, you know, one of the saddest things in life is for somebody to have sight but not vision. Think about that for a second. And she also wrote, life is a daring adventure or it's nothing. I mean, that's a phenomenal statement by a lady in her situation. Life is a daring adventure, or it's nothing. And I guess that's how I see life, or that's how I believe life can be. Not that means that it's void of trouble or hardship. You know, I believe we're called to travel, you know, the high road. And it is the road less traveled. Why is it the road less traveled? Why is it the high road? Because it's just harder. That's the reality is, it's just harder. And I think that we have so much information at hand that can support and help us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, there's more webcasts and live streaming and podcasts, books, articles, blogs, tweets, Facebook messages. It is, we're just inundated with so much information. But at the end of the day, it's you still need to work out for you how that's going to translate into your life. Because nobody else can live in the relationships that you're in. No one else sees relationships and sees your position in society or within whatever club you're involved in or at university or whatever it is. No one else can live that for you. That's you. I can't live that for you. So yes, it's great what Pastor Phil believes, and he should really know what he's talking about most of the time. But like, you know, we see, like, that's great for Pastor Phil, but when it comes to, when push comes to shove, it's like, what do you believe? Where are you at? And so how do you kind of interpret and translate all of this information that's available to you? Because your world is very unique, because you're so wonderfully unique. So Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 starts to give us a little bit of insight and challenge at the same time. Therefore, and when you read therefore, you've got to read what it's there for, so you've got to have an understanding of what came before it. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Everybody say rock.
Rock.
That rock is Jesus Christ. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and the beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you, firstly, for who you are. You are, as we've heard, you are perfect and complete, that you are unchanging, you're immutable in that sense, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, you love us the way we are, but you love us too much to leave us the way we are if we have that heart's desire to want to be molded and made and transformed more into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And I pray that would be us. That would be our lives as individuals, but also as a community of believers, that we are all desiring and hungering not to stay where we're at, not being ungrateful for where we're at, but just desiring for you to take us where you want us to go and become who you want us to become. And so this morning I just pray, Holy Spirit, do your thing. Holy Spirit, come. Move past our preconceived ideas. Move past the stuff we've heard before. Move past, Lord God, this maybe sense of pride, dare I say, to go, I'm doing okay. Go even past all of that. And just have your way this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So this story is a common story. We know that the message is quite obvious. But yet when we think about it, when you think about Jesus' teachings, he left people probably with more questions than he did with answers most of the time. Because he didn't always give explanation to his parables. I mean, it's okay for us because we've got the whole book to look at and we can look at it in context. But these stories were unfolding as Jesus was going. So when we think about Jesus' teachings, he left people with questions more so than with the answers. And for me, this story is a little bit, reminds me of the story of the three little pigs. Remember that one? And there's a few different versions of the three little pigs, but one built his house of straw, one built it out of wooden sticks, and one built it out of bricks and solid. And in one version, the pig comes along and I'll blow your house down, not by the hairs of my chinny chin chin. And he does that. And then in one story, the wolf eats the first pig. And in another version, the pig runs to the next house. I don't know. Don't you think some bedtime stories are just crazy, freaky horror stories? I mean, Humpty Dumpty falls down and breaks apart. It's like, you know, it's a tragedy. I mean, what about row, row, row your boat gently down the stream? If you see an alligator, don't forget to scream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, throw your teacher overboard and listen to her scream. I mean, these are the kind of things you want your kids going to sleep to, thinking about it. What about rock-a-bye baby on the treetop? When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the branch breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will fall baby, cradle and all. Sleep tight, sweetheart, I'm going. Just come tumbling down. I mean, have you ever thought about some of these bedtime stories? But anyway, three little pigs. Goes to the next one, wooden sticks. And finally, like, you know, I like the one where all the piggies run to the last house and then the wolf comes and tries to blow down the house and can't get in. So he climbs down the chimney, ends up in the pot and gets cooked up. And I don't know if pigs are carnivores or what, but the wolf gets killed and the pigs win. So, you know, but the point is that here we have this lesson story for us is about what are we building our lives on? What are we building our lives on? And of course, storms of life are going to come. And the extent to which we can get through those storms of life will determine on what and who we have built our life on. I love Revelation 3:19 to 21. It says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. Think about that. Do you ever remember being disciplined by your parents? This hurts me more than it hurts you. Yeah, right, whatever. I really don't want to have to do this, son, but... Well, don't do it. It's easy. You know, and Dad would say, what are you doing? Do I look stupid to you or what? Don't answer that. But I remember Dad took me off one time and I thought we were going off just to have some father-son time, but it ended up being like just sort of getting a whack. And in fact, on a Sunday after church, three boys were lined up at home. We all copped a whack on the butt, even if we're good or bad, just in case we were naughty. And then we had to go and have a sleep for half an hour or an hour. And we'd wait 5 minutes for Dad to go to sleep. And then one of us would ruffle up our hair, go in and see Mum and said, oh, we've had a big sleep. Can we go get up now? Mum would look at Dad and Dad was asleep. Yeah, okay, boys, but just be quiet. But it says here, I have no idea why I just told that story, but I correct and discipline everyone I love. And it's true, I can look back now and I can say, well, I really thank my parents for disciplining me. And young people in the room, your parents discipline you because they love you. And they do it because maybe they've got a little bit more experience than what you do and what you have. Normally, I wouldn't talk like this with the youth, especially my daughter in the room. But, you know, I think that, you know, just we know that discipline happens because somebody loves you and they can maybe see a different and a better way about it. So be diligent. Listen to this, Revelation 3:19. Be diligent and turn away from your indifference. Be diligent and turn away from your indifference, or be zealous and repent. And then he says, Jesus says, look, exclamation mark, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door. So Jesus stands, he stands at the door. It's all part of the effect, don't worry. Jesus stands at the door of our life and he knocks. He's just saying, look, I'm here, I'm standing at your door of your life, and I'm here and I'm knocking. And he says to us in that verse that if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. It's such a beautiful picture of what Jesus, the kind of relationship Jesus wants to have with us. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. And the thing is that we know that in John 10, it says that Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not except to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. It's a verse we use a lot, but Jesus reminding us again that he wants us to have life and life to the full. When we open the door of our life to Jesus Christ, and we let him into our life and we say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. See, on this side, we've got like, you know, reflective of life. You know, we've got the search for peace. We've got glimpses of like, you know, hope and other stuff that happens in our life. And Jesus is going, hey, I know all about that stuff. And if you let me in, if you open the door, and you'll notice in a minute that the door handles, there's only door handles on one side of the door, and that's on our side. That we're the only ones that can open the door of our heart. And I think it's fascinating that Jesus says, hey, if you're willing to do that, if you come through me into relationship with God, there is life and life to the full waiting for you. And that's a choice that we get to make. The contrast to this, I believe, is in Genesis chapter 4. Right at the very beginning, we see that Jesus and God desire this relationship with mankind, but mankind messes it up. And as we see kind of like the generations begin to evolve and to develop, is when they grew up in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 to 7. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. Great story, and Sean preached a great message on giving, and this was one of the examples that he used in his message about bringing our first and our best to the Lord. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. So for me, I see there's these two very different contrasting pictures that we have. Jesus going, look, I am here. I stand at the door of your life and I knock to come in so we can have an open, honest, friendship type relationship. But here in Genesis chapter 4, we've got this kind of this imagery being painted that there is this sneaky, subversive kind of sin. There's this enemy opposition to who Jesus is and all that Jesus is about, that he's crouching at the door, just waiting for the door just to slightly be ajar so he can run through. And it's like very contrasting and different to what we see Jesus as saying and doing. And I think that the reality is, and the question of that I've got for you, where are you at, is that if we've opened the door of our heart to Jesus Christ and we have that relationship and we go, God, I want to come in and I want to start living my life with you and having you in my life and doing life your way according to your word, that there's lots of promises that come with that. But just because we do that, it doesn't mean that sin stops crouching at the door. It doesn't mean that you're void of pain and hardship, and we know that, but the reality is, like, sin is still going to crouch at your door. So let me ask you a simple question. Has there sin been crouching at your door? Let me put it another way. A question I ask everywhere I go, and I need to ask it of our church, was, is there ever a day you were more in love with Jesus Christ than you are today? And I think that when you first become a Christian, like, there is just so many new things and there's so much to get your head around and there's just like, oh, wow, you know, how am I supposed to, what should I do in this situation? And then over time, you sort of start to learn a little bit and you go to the Word of God and you begin to understand how certain things can work. And then we begin to hopefully understand and mature and begin to understand that, well, if I do it actually God's way, it works. And then we begin to hold on to some of the promises, like, if he begins a good work in me, if I'm patient and hold on to him and walk in obedience, he will bring it to completion. And that, you know what, even in the midst of this hardship, that he's working all this stuff, I don't see it, but I'm called to hold on to, that he's working all this together for good. And as we begin to mature and we hopefully begin to understand that, we can begin to understand that God is a God of his word, that he is a God that follows through, and if he starts something, he's going. I mean, like, have you ever thought about it? Have you ever seen kind of like a half a cow walking around anywhere? Have you seen half a giraffe kind of wandering around the zoo, just the front half or the back half? I mean, when you open up
a banana, do you expect to find a watermelon on the inside? No, because we have this God who is true to his word, who is consistent, who is reliable, a God of integrity, a God that is... I'll be there later. But we have this God that is consistent in all he does. And if he says he's going to do something, he will do it. That's part of his nature. But yet, just because you're in this relationship with God, it doesn't mean that sin stops crouching at your door. So this morning, as your pastor, I'm asking you the question. It's none of my business what the sin is. That's between you and God. But I have a responsibility to ask you, is it happening? Is it happening in your life? I think one of the dangers that if you've been a Christian for a prolonged period of time, we can get caught into a sense of comfortability and apathy and to think, well, you know what? Yeah, I don't really drink and, you know, I don't get drunk and, you know, I don't do this and I don't do that. And so therefore we somehow get a little bit comfortable. And so this morning, can I ask you, is there maybe a more subtle sin that's been crouching at the door that we've allowed the door to kind of be ajar and to sneak in and to capture part of our heart, our love, our affection that actually belongs to Jesus Christ? You see, I mean, the reality is for us as a church with the number that we have now, the greatest challenge that we have to growing into what God has planned for us is just complacency and apathy, because we're at a safe size. We're actually numerically bigger than what the average size church in Australia is. Like, you know, most churches in Australia average between 60 to 70 people. They're about on average across the denomination. So, you know what, we're doing good. It's like, you know, we can sit back, we're paying our bills, and it's like, you know, we're actually making a bit of a difference in the community. So therefore, why do we really have to push and strive to impact our community anymore? We may not say that, but sometimes our actions, and so maybe the sin of apathy or the sin of complacency is sitting there. Was there ever a day you were more in love with Jesus Christ than you are today? Because then maybe that kind of comfortability and apathy has kind of just crept into our life. You know, some people just go, yeah, but I like the church this size because it's, you know, it's small and I know everybody and I don't want it getting too big. It's like, what about the people that are living in our direct vicinity just here that are facing a Christless eternity because we want to be comfortable? And so, church, let me make it very clear to you. I make no apology whatsoever for my passion for the lost. I will make no apology for that whatsoever. So when it comes to any sense of comfortability or apathy, I just hit it head on. And if you want a comfortable existence, this is the wrong church. Yes, there are times when we need to sit and heal, and there are times when we're wrestling with issues and we need to kind of like not isolate ourselves. We need to put ourselves in a position where there are people around us that can encourage, support, bring discipline, bring correction if needed into our life. We need that. So there are seasons in life for that. But overall, we should be constantly just going, God, help us in this mission and purpose that you have put us here in the city of Glenora to impact this city, this community, and this and various aspects of this nation and other nations in the world. It's gone very quiet in here, apart from Zach. He liked what I was preaching. He was loving it. I can tell. That cry, it wasn't I'm a hungry cry or anything like that, or I'm an upset cry. That was it. Go, Pastor Phil. I love that preaching. But sin crouches at the door. And I've actually this week, I've just been kind of going, God, what's the sins that are crouching? I mean, like, there's the obvious ones. We've got, you know, sex can sit outside our door. Lust can sit outside our door. Pornography can sit outside our door. Lying and deception and manipulation can sit outside our door. And excessives and the addictions and life-controlling issues can sit outside our door. Those things that love of money and materialistic possessions over our love of Jesus Christ can sit. All of those things can sit outside our door. And they're the obvious ones. But yet, Paul writes, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So as the leaders, and we talk about this as a leadership group, that's a big responsibility for us as leaders. And I go to myself, if anyone from this church was to hang out with me for a week or so, Would there be anything that I do or said that I would kind of cringe and be embarrassed of? And apart from, like, you know, sort of just the usual kind of disagreements that people have in their homes, that's normal, right? Please tell me that's normal.
No.
Okay. Which always ends in, yes, dear, you were right, I was wrong, I'm sorry. That's just how it ends in our household. But I think to myself, there are certain areas in my life that I need to just go, wow, maybe I've let the door ajar just a little bit, whether it's about pride, whether it's about complacency, whether it's about where I allow kind of just that conflict situation not being resolved the way I want it, even though, yes, I've tried everything I believe I can, but yet there's just something there and it just, you know, there's just still got that little bit of to it. Have I actually really truly let it go and dealt with it? You know, and I try to think about my own life in different ways like that. But what is it for you? I mean, you know, just a little bit of yeast can spoil the whole batch. I mean, I've been reading one of my most favorite leaders of all time, Shackleton. I'm not sure if you've heard about Sir Ernest Shackleton and his unbelievable feat of being able to save his whole crew that were trapped in the Antarctic, and they had to cut off from all help with winter approaching. Sir Ernest Shackleton made the fateful decision to attempt a risky, almost foolhardy voyage across the wild Southern Ocean to South Georgia with five of his men, just in a shabby little boat that pretty much looked like that. And they had, like, you know, just ridiculous, you know, storms and seas, and they had they didn't have the latest GPS kind of navigational equipment and things like that. They literally kind of like using the old school compass and stars and sun when it came out. Just a phenomenal feat of leadership and navigational skills. But the comments made that even if it's just like 1 degree off over a large distance was going to send them and significantly miss their target. And how true that is in our lives too. When it can just be just a small thing, and if it's not dealt with and if it's not addressed over time and down the track in the long run, can actually significantly cause us to miss the target where we're actually meant to be going. So what is it? Maybe that's been crouching at your door. That's just a very, very personal thing. I don't really have much more to say this morning, excuse me, except that we know in Scripture that we are challenged regularly to go through the process of maturation, that we're supposed to be going from being babies to infants to child to adolescent to teenager to young adult into maturity. And that journey and process, again, it's not something that I take lightly as the responsibility of pastor, that I desire that each and every person here is growing and maturing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so whatever that means for you, maybe this morning, and we're going to wrap it up in just a moment, maybe this morning for you it's just going, you know what, Phil, I'm actually in a good place, but I'm just going to wait on the Holy Spirit and just go, God, is there anything that sort of like just crept into my world that has dampened or dulled my passion and zeal for the Lord? I mean, this is not super deep and it's not super revelationary, but I believe it's actually important to the next stage and season of growth of our church. That we all just have that desperate heart, God, I want to grow in you. I don't want to stay where I am. I'm grateful for where I've been, come from, and I'm grateful for where I am. But God, I don't want to stay here. God, I'm hungry for more. And again, I think the biggest group in this room that can be challenged by this are those that have been Christians for some time. Can you be specific in the way in which you've grown this year? Let me put it another way. Do you think that God is interested and wants you to grow in your relationship with Him? Do you think He's committed to you growing in your relationship with Him? It's not a trick question. So if He's committed to us, our response just needs to be one of just humbling ourselves and go, guess what, God? I don't know it all. Guess what, God? If I'm to be honest, I've actually got some weaknesses in my life. And I actually need your strength to come in and be made perfect in my weakness so that that weakness is no longer a weakness, but it becomes a strength to your glory. So in answer to that question that I started with, how do we know that we're growing? Well, I think, you know, we're called to view the Word of God as a mirror. And we need to be able to look into the Word of God and see, okay, what is being reflected? My life compared to what I read in here. How do I measure up? The Bible says it's foolishness if you were to compare yourself with anyone else in this room or on the planet. God doesn't want you to do that. Because as I said, you're unique and the circumstances in which you find yourself are unique and different to anyone else in this room. So therefore, it's not about comparing yourself to anyone else. What we have to be doing is going back to the Word of God and going, how do I measure up to what the Word of God has to say about me and my life? And that's why, church, you can't just settle and be dependent upon what Pastor Phil thinks. You have to know what you believe. You have to know for your circumstance and allow God to speak to you through His Word so you get your own revelation of what God wants for your life. Everyone else is going to have a great idea about what you should do for your life. Everyone's got an idea, but what's God's plan for your life? And the simple truth is that if you're willing to ask, God won't be silent on that. He'll speak to you through various ways and means that will confirm His Word in your life. So we've got to go and look at the Word so that we can see the Word. And the Word is Jesus Christ who became flesh. So when we look at the Word, what I hope to do is be able to look and go, right, okay, now this is how Jesus operated. These are the boundaries and the standards that God expects for a man of God to be. So therefore, I go, okay, well, how do I measure up against that? Because if I try to measure up against Pastor Brian Houston or Pastor Phil Pringle or Pastor Bill Johnson and those kind of guys, I'm going to feel like a pathetic worm that's not achieved anything in my whole life. But when I go to the Word of God, I go, okay, God, what is it that You've called me to do and who You've called me to be? And you've got to do the same. But if you don't go to the Word, you're going to be influenced and dictated to by other people's opinions of who you're meant to be. You're going to be trying to live up to expectations that either people will put on you or you put on yourself. And guess what? I think the majority of the expectations that people have in this room of yourself aren't even expectations that God has put on you. Especially when they're sort of like accusatory. It's like, wow, warning bell, bing, bing, bing. That's one where the enemy comes in and accuses you of not so being good enough and not this or that. God doesn't do that. He comes in and speaks to you what you can be, even though it's not what you are. He speaks words of hope and faith into your life and into your world. Hold on to me. So it's not about other people's expectations. It's not about comparing yourself. It's just simply going to the Word of God, and this is the mirror that you should be actually looking into to see how you measure up. So this morning, it all starts with responding to the knock on the door. The door of your life has that door handle. And Jesus stands at the door, it says, and He knocks. And He says, I'm just offering you relationship with Me. For you just to open the door of your life and allow Me to come in. So that you can then begin to see and understand who it is that you truly are, why you're on this green and blue ball we call a planet, your purpose and meaning, hope. God wants to come in and say, you know what, all of that, the darkness and attempts for peace and attempts for life, all of those things can be found and met in Me. And when you allow Me into your life, then I can take you on that path of experiencing and living life and life abundantly and life to the full. And that's the choice that Jesus Christ, but it's up to us to open up the door of our life. And if you don't open the door of your life to Jesus Christ, Can I just, maybe today is not a day where you're willing to do that, but can I just throw this out there to you that Jesus stands, but sin also crouches. And the Bible says that the devil parades as an angel of light. And it's that light that we long for, but the devil will parade as the angel of light as a counterfeit of who Jesus Christ is. So therefore, he'll manifest himself in different ways in our life that it's like kind of like, yep, it's like credit card. It's like, you know what, you get the stuff now, but you're going to have to pay later. It's like, yep, there's a level of instant satisfaction with the sins that crouch at your door, whether it's pornography, whether it's lust, whether it's just pursuit of relationships or different things and work and whatever it may be. And there's sometimes an instant level of satisfaction, but over a period of time, it leaves you empty and leaves you void. So you keep on just searching and clutching at various things. The supernatural is very much the same. The devil will just crouch at your door in the realm of the supernatural, and he will try to throw out things like Ouija boards, seances, and tarot, and stars, and different things. And the supernatural exists for one of two reasons. If I'm to simplify it and bring it back down, it's to one of two things will happen. The supernatural will either take you to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or it will take you further and further away from that. And the supernatural realm is not something to be played with. And so sin will crouch in different forms and means, parading as an angel of light, saying that he will satisfy and you'll get fulfillment and purpose and hope, but leaving you empty and potentially taking you further and further away from where the real solution and answer can be found. And that is in Jesus Christ. And the knock on the door somehow just gets, we get dulled to it. We hear it less and less. So let's just pray this morning. I don't know everybody in the room, and I thank you so much for being here today. And I don't believe anybody is here by accident. But if you've never opened the door of your heart to Jesus Christ, who says, look, I stand at the door of your life and I knock. And I want to come in and I want to bring peace and forgiveness, hope, life to the full. Assurance of life to the full, but also eternal life. If you've never opened the door of your life to Jesus Christ, it's the best decision you could ever make. I'd love to give everybody in this room the opportunity to do that today. Say, yes, Phil, I want to start that relationship. I want to have Jesus Christ, as that scripture says in Revelation 3, that he would come and he would be my best friend. Be a part of my life. Open my eyes to what's really possible. Is there anybody here today who say, Phil, that's me? As no one's looking around, can I just ask you to raise your hand? After this service is finished, in just a few moments, I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone at all? Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you after this service. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Is there anybody else this morning? Just raise your hand so I can see. And the other question, just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, to those that have maybe been in a relationship with the Lord for a short period or for a long time, if as you've been sitting here this morning, you've sensed just the Holy Spirit highlight something to you that has caused your passion and love for Jesus Christ, and okay, it's a very general statement I'm making here. But before you leave today, I want to give you the opportunity of just laying it down at the foot of the cross and saying, you know what? I want to deal with this morning. And I just don't want anything that's been crouching at my door, sneaking on through and diminishing my love and passion and zeal for the Lord. Now, that was one of the rebukes that the Lord gave John in Revelation. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And this morning, that's just what I want to give the opportunity to do. Quite general, I know, but yet I think it's very, very important. So if you feel challenged this morning, I'm not asking you what it is. That's none of my business. If you would like some support or somebody to talk to because you feel really challenged by it, then of course we're going to make ourselves available for that after the service. But just right now, if that's you, no one's looking around, whether you've been a Christian for a week or maybe 15, 20, 30 years, if that's you, can I just ask you to raise your hand this morning? Go, yep, Phil, that's me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Thank you. Father, this morning I thank you that when you look upon us, you don't look at the outward appearance, what degree, what car, where we live, you look at the heart. And this morning, Father, we cannot hide anything from you. And you don't want us to. You want us to come to you and humble ourselves and say, Lord, there's this area of my life that I just don't want to settle for that. I want to deal with it today in Jesus' name. So I just pray for those right now that have raised their hand in this place. That Holy Spirit, right now, you just be released just to do your healing work. That those areas, Father God, where the enemy has come in and got those hooks into people's spirits in this place, that those chains, those hooks would just be broken in Jesus' name. We take authority over them this morning. They have no right, no place in the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We declare victory in this place. God, I thank you that we do not have to yell, we don't have to scream. We just need to use and appropriate the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name which is above every other name, that name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And so we willingly confess you as Lord today, and that these things are broken in Jesus' name. That, Father, that space taken up by that thing, Lord God, would now be filled and replaced with the power of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come with your power, with your healing, with your grace, with your mercy. And that which was a weakness, may it become a strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us as a community. Help us as a church family, Lord God, to grow into the fullness of the purpose that you have for us. That, God, we will not settle. Lord God, we will not and cannot settle. As long as we have brothers and sisters, uncles, aunties, sons, daughters, friends, neighbors, work colleagues that don't know you, then, Father God, we cannot settle. We have to continue to proclaim the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God, give us the strength as a church family to do that. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.